nerd soul.
Lay Ill Kid at One Youngster holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. That's right. On screen, we got a new trailer. It's been trailerific this week, but we got a new trailer with Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. We ain't by ourselves. We ain't alone. Nah, we got a guest. All right, this guest, you've known him for a long time, and we're gonna be talking Star Wars sooner or later. But I present to you, Jay Shearer. What's up?
What's up? Yeah, I've been waiting for you to come on the show where we're talking about Mandalorian every week. Are you watching Mandalorian?
Yes, I've been watching it. It's just that my video setup is not great, so I can't do video right now, but I have been watching it. I watched the finale for, Bad Batch as well.
I'm
up on my Star Wars, you know.
You should come on the show. You should come on our show and just be audio only. You don't need a video. That's totally fine.
Okay. All right. We'll make that happen then. We'll definitely make
perfect.
That happen.
Perfect.
So we got new footage. A whole lot, at least what we see story-wise from his like home life. How are you feeling about, you know, Miles and his new journey that he's on?
Well, first of all, the first film is so good. It's like in my top 10 easily, if not my top 3 comic book hero movies of all time. Like, I love the first film. So it's like, this is like coming back to like, oh, I'm gonna go back to the same restaurant that I love, you know what I mean? Like, it has that same feeling. It's like, okay, cool, I can't wait to see this. So I'm already biased in the positive direction, but the dynamic with the family, I actually wrote it down. I wrote a couple of notes down about what I liked about the trailer, and one of the things is I love the dynamic with his parents. And obviously he's older now, so he has a little bit more agency. He's able to do a little bit more. He has a little bit more responsibility. He's already been doing his superhero thing for at least a few years, and now we start to see what kind of impact that is having on his life. And so the dynamic, I love the dynamic where he says something stupid and then his mom gets mad at him, and then his dad's like, oh, you said something stupid.
His dad's like, oh god, no. Oh.
Yeah, totally.
Because totally. You know, as a dad, it's like, here's the thing, you make her mad, then I have to hear her fuss about you, and I don't want to hear her fussing about you. So now I got to hear how my son, it's not our son anymore, my son doesn't know how to act.
Yep, exactly. And I got to hear about it from multiple angles. And yeah, so that's a great dynamic. I mean, the way that they've handled that really grounds the character and makes the character extremely relatable. Just like they do with Peter Parker in the comics, they're able to do that here as well, but with a slightly different dynamic. And it works... honestly, I think it works even a little bit better here than it does even in the comics. So it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and watching it play out, you know, with the way this is animated is one of the reasons why it's just my favorite. It's literally like a moving comic book. The way the concept of this, Sony animation is usually not, you know, stellar. But this thing, the way they've animated and continue to animate it, is amazing. And even the voice acting, when you have them in the kind of like, I guess, parent teacher conference, and she's like, oh, it's a pretty good student, and then she says he has an A in physics, it's like, no, that's not pretty good, that's then she said he had a B in Spanish, and like immediately his dad once again is like, oh god, here we go.
<it's> awesome.
Mom goes off. But, and it's funny, I've known kids that are straight up steeped in Spanish language. Like, they're first generation immigrant, I mean, or second generation, some are first, some are second, and they were not doing well in Spanish. And the main thing they would tell me is, this isn't how we talk. Like, they would be like, this isn't how we talk. This isn't like conversational. Right. And most people that speak Spanish daily will tell you that is not how, like, if you were to get up and go to, I don't know, Colombia, Guatemala, Cuba, anywhere right now, that is not how they talk.
Right.
Exactly. But yeah, because I knew kids that spoke Spanish at home all the time and were getting like B's and C's in Spanish.
yeah.
And well, it's even like, English, shouldn't this be a slam dunk for you?
Yeah, seriously. But even English is the same way, right? Like, you know, like how many times do you say something and I'm like, well, how did Michael actually conjugate that sentence? Like, well, come on, yeah. We're not doing that. Like, so it's a whole different thing, you know? It's a completely different thing.
It's like, you know, trying to fit when you're speaking, you don't think about, okay, what's an adverb? What's a preposition? What's exactly, you don't think, you're just like, yeah. you're just saying, hey, this, I said this and that's it. You know what I mean or whatever.
Totally.
So that was cool. And I also like how she ended, he's lying to you. So
yes,
it's even people that don't know that he's a superhero, they know like this kid's doing something he's not supposed to do. And right. That's one thing that I do like is creating a situation where this hero isn't just able to like slide off and nobody knows, nobody ever asks any questions or anything. And, you know, of course, the teacher is like, I see this kid probably either daily or, you know, maybe every other day and something's up. I don't know if it's something at home. I don't know if you guys know. I don't, but he's doing something. I don't know if he's I don't know if he's getting into trouble. I don't know if he's with the wrong crowd, but he's lying to you. And that's something that I really want to see play out with his parents to see, are they going to pry? How are they going to try to figure out how to get around it? You know, and or maybe get him to open up, something like that. And, you know, maybe will he? Because, of course, you know, and this adaption is going to be completely different than anything else would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And Miles seems like a kid who would talk to his parents about this stuff, as opposed to like, you know, Peter, for some reason, he's sort of like, I guess, in the comics and in the movies now, in the MCU now, like Aunt May knows, right? But like, he keeps his identity pretty secret. I don't know that Miles is the kind of, that might be like the central conflict of this particular film, is like, he has to come to terms with being, like, letting somebody know. Because the whole escapism thing is, when Gwen visits him, he's like, okay, I'm going to go with Gwen, and now these people understand me. And he doesn't really have anybody that understands him, especially since his uncle's gone, right? Like, his uncle probably would have understood him, but his uncle got onto the wrong side of the equation. So I think that maybe the central conflict here is him trying to wrestle with, can I even let my parents in on the fact that I'm doing this stuff and like what I'm up to? And that would be a cool central conflict to have. And it would also be a nice resolution for what's going on in the Spider-Verse, but also what's going on in Miles' daily life too. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, especially when, you know, when we pair that with the statement from the first trailer where his mom is talking to him saying, you know, you used to be my little boy. And, you know, he's grown up so much, but it's like, no, he's grown up way more than you think. Like, he was there to see his uncle murdered. He was, you know, he's been fighting villains and stuff. Like, he's grown up way more than you think. And, you know, how does he, you know, talk about that or convey that to her? We'll never know. But I do like that we are kind of getting a good sense of a grounding of his family life. And then we have the extra stuff. Like, you know, you got Miguel in there. You have all these spiders in here. You have a reference to No Way Home.
Yep. That was crazy. That was a good reference, too, because it added some comedy to that moment. Because, I mean, let's face it, like, Miguel Spidey, whatever his name is, because I'm not that familiar with the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, because just remember him as Spider-Man 1999. I mean, 2099.
Okay, so there you go. That's what it is then. But like that Miguel guy, he's definitely like not a humorous character. So when he says that, it's like, oh, that's a pretty good joke. It's a pretty good joke.
It helps to know that not only did he call out that Spider-Man, but he called Doctor Strange by name. He didn't say, he didn't say like some sorcerer or some wizard or something. He said Doctor Strange. Like, he knows these things. So that kind of brings a little more, I don't know, validity to how much or how well traveled he is in the Spider-Verse, you know. Yeah. And also makes me wonder a little bit if this might slightly give a little insight into the MCU a little further, since we just referenced the MCU directly. Yeah. So that is interesting. And then just seeing how almost kind of how angry he was about it.
Yes.
He was like, not to mention problems. This nerd over here or something like that.
I know. This guy needs to take some anger management courses. Here's an interesting question. Have the comics and or did Sony have to get sign off on that joke, or did the comics already go there and now it's just they're referencing, like, that could be a reference to the comics, like, because
I'm wondering, maybe since they've done this deal between Sony and, you know, Sony and Marvel, and since they know a Spider-Verse, maybe they're like, all right, this kind of animated situation is fair game, maybe. But
yeah,
it is, so. You know, because then I guess they could say, hey, we are one of the, you know, many multiverses in the, or the Spider-Verses or whatever. So yes, you can reference us. Maybe don't expect to see Thor show up, but, you know, still to directly reference it, I guess would be cool or be okay.
It's throwing me for a loop though, because what it's doing is it's making me think, like, does that mean that all the world of the Spider-Verse could be included in the MCU at some point in the future? Like, if they ever do,
because that door does swing both ways.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm expecting, like, if I see Miles Morales in live action, like, let's say 2 years from now, well, then I'm assuming that the continuity is this, that it's this Miles Morales, or maybe it's not this Miles Morales, but at least there's another Miles Morales that exists that's doing this stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing that they're throwing out there.
Yeah, because even I remember there's one of the trades that I have where there's another Miles or this Miles has been brought to, like, the current universe that they're in or whatever. Mm. And so him and it was I'm trying to think of the trade, but the way it went down, someone in the comments can let me know. The way it went down, like, it ended up being a fight between the guy that was bringing Miles and his uncle to this particular universe. And there were tons of, like, clones that he had created that ended up fighting not only Miles, but Captain America was there. There were a whole bunch of, like, Miles' friends getting in on a fight too. So it ended up being a pretty cool climax. But somebody can let me know, and because I don't feel like going upstairs right now to find it. But but that could be cool because the door does swing both ways. And that's not the only thing. That's not the only other thing. You know, we do get, you know, some confirmation on the love side. You know, we see Peter B show up with Mayday Parker. We are to assume that, you know, he went home, he rung that doorbell, and then he let love lead. You know,
that's right.
You know, he's like, you know, girl, I miss you. And then she, you know, she tried to play coy a little bit. He's like, girl, come on, there ain't no one else for me.
That's right. I can see it. And her tough exterior just melts down, and she's like, whatever happened to us, Peter? And he's like, it's gonna get better from here on out.
Yep.
I like then, it. I like
next
it.
Thing you know, Mayday Parker.
That's right. That's right.
I do think no different than with Piccolo and Pan. Isn't she, like, way too young to just be just swinging around and stuff? I mean, I know you wanted to, you know, grow up and, you know things and, you know, be able to protect herself, but she's still in, like, one of those, like, you know, shoulder carriers or whatever. Like, I know. Is she, like, 2, 3? Like, you know, let the girl have a childhood. Like, I mean, my little guy is 5, and I'm still kind of trying to figure out, like, okay, when do I teach him, you know, how to defend himself, throwing punches and stuff like that. I mean, I guess maybe this summer, maybe when he's 6. I don't want to wait too late, but I also don't want him running around just hitting people.
Yeah, I think you gotta. Yeah, if your kid can swing from buildings, I mean, come on, you gotta take that pretty careful. Because, like,
yeah,
imagine she starts swinging from a building and then forgets how to do it or something like that, or gets distracted by a bird or something.
Oh,
that's like a disaster waiting to happen. Like, you can't let your kids do that. No, you gotta put mittens on them or something, right? Like, I don't know.
You know what? Mayday Parker is a perfect example for a kid that needs one of those leashes. And I mean, I hate to say it because I hate the whole child leash thing. It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
But also having a toddler, I get it. Like, I get it, but it still looks weird to me. Like, I don't own one, but I also get it because there are certain times when I'm like, I told you to be here. Yeah. And you're not here. You're there. Right. There is close to here, but it's not here.
So, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, May Parker, I hope she has her little standout scene, which I'm pretty sure she will. But even in this sequence or in this trailer, Peter B has to like slide in and catch her falling from wherever she's falling from. So,
yeah.
That little kid, man, she's just living it up.
That's right. She's going for it. Now you mentioned that you like the animation a lot, right?
Yeah.
Which the animation in Into the Spider-Verse is like some of my favorite animation of all time. Like, I just think it's outstanding. Yeah. This one, I'm not sure if it's just because we haven't seen anything like Into the Spider-Verse for a while, or if it was because they actually changed something, but some of the facial animation slash like the 3D model that the animation is painted on top of felt almost a little bit too real, or maybe realer than the first one. I don't know. Did you pick up on that?
I've noticed there was an animator that was talking about their process for this, and I can't remember the video. It was on YouTube, but he was talking about how each Spider-Man has a slightly different model due to the world that they come from. So some of them will look a little more real. Some of them will look a little more wacky. Kind of like Gwen has this kind of like neon-y kind of glow around her. But then when she comes into, you know, Miles's world, it changes a little bit. And like, just him breaking down like their thought process of how they do it is cool. Even how they do the depth perception on things behind characters that are in focus. So yes, I do think some things are a little more, I guess, real-ish.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they're doing that because to show us that this world is changing or has been forever changed due to what Kingpin did.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I might be reading too far into it, but also knowing that they take how each universe looks extremely seriously.
Yeah, and that's cool.
It is just, it's cool. Like I've watched Into the Spider-Verse, I don't know, maybe 30 times or something like that. just because I love how it looks. Like, you know, absolutely. And I mean, I will say in general, I love this new kind of advent of animation where, okay, no diss to Pixar, but for a while everybody was trying to copy Pixar.
Yes.
And I love this new, you know, you got Into the Spider-Verse, they're doing their own thing. You have Arcane, they're doing their own thing.
Oh yeah.
You have, and I mean, I guess they have already set this for them. I mean, set this art style for themselves, but Bad Batch kind of coming back with that Clone Wars style. I'm glad to see, you know, different styles of CG animation outside of just the kind of like basic Pixar style, because it did become kind of ubiquitous and it was getting boring to me. But seeing things like Arcane, seeing things like this, even seeing Bad Batch, even though that art style was kind of set way back when Clone Wars started, it's still something different. And I think there's space for all of these things to be different. Even where you look at like something on Miles where he's like really close with Miguel and you can see like the small strands of hair from his curls. It's like they are really, they're taking, you know, great pride in all of this detail.
Absolutely,
and it's just cool to see how animation as a whole is getting a chance to stretch out a little bit. Even with the new Dragon Ball superhero movie, like that, you know, they're saying, hey, this is the new way of, yes, it used to be hand-drawn 2D animated, and we're still going to set it in a 2D space, but these are now 3D rendered characters. And the new Dragon Ball superhero movie, regardless of how people might feel like about Dragon Ball, because it is one of those huge things, like, you know, Dragon Ball, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, whatever, you know, it looks beautiful. And it's something that's CG animated, but it's different. So I'm all for that. And in this, it just looks like another one of those movies that I can just watch over and over again and, you know, pick up something new. Like, even when they do small things, like when his mother snaps at him and it does like that little like effect, like that kind of comic that's book cool. effect. Like, even in the first movie, they're running from Alchemex, and he throws a bagel back at one of the people, and when it bounces off his head, it says bagel real small. And it's like just those things that like you don't notice until you watched it for like your fifth time, and you're like, oh, you're like, that's cool that they took, you know, however long it took to animate that little piece, they thought about doing that. So yeah, I love that about the animation. This, man, this thing probably is going to be another hit, but I mean, we'll wait. But from these first two trailers, I'm thinking we're gonna be in for a treat. They even have that run sequence where it looks like he's in a comic book panel running.
Yes.
So yes. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it really.
Yeah, and I love what you mentioned earlier about them taking the time and the effort to make the different characters seem like they came out of the comic book that they were inspired by, because that really does add more depth to the Spider-Verse in general. It's like they don't all look the same. They have all of their own unique characteristics. I kept pausing it. One of the reasons, because you know, you texted me and you're like, hey, like, do you want to jump on this podcast? I'm like, I gotta watch the trailer first. Well, I watched it like two or three times, and then also like pause the screen just to see if I saw anything that, and there's so many, like, in the, when they're walking along through the Spider-Verse and you see the Spider-Man who's in black and white, and then you see another Spider-Man who's in green, and you're just like, whoa, that's crazy. Because we got that in the first one and it was cool, because in fact, I really hope we see Spider-Man Noir and Peter Porker. We gotta see Peter Porker. But those were heavily influenced by the comics that they came out of, so it was cool to see that. Did you see any Spider-Verse people in there that you were like, that's a character I really want to see on screen?
Outside of Spider-Punk, not really. I do want to see how deep Spider-Woman gets into this story, because we've seen her in both trailers kind of get like a good kind of action, you know, I guess, segment of the trailer. Like, you see her kind of like power slide in, or you see her like throw the webs from her fingers. So I am interested to see what role she plays. Is it kind of like a mentor? Is it a situation where she's kind of, I guess, on the antagonist side, maybe? And I want to see more of wherever Ben Reilly comes from, because we do get to see Ben Reilly for a second, and he's kind of presented as a hand-drawn character. Spider-Woman also seems to be pregnant in this as well.
I was gonna say, yeah, she does. She pats her stomach.
Yeah, so that might also weigh on maybe how her character interacts with Miles or something like that. Because it definitely seems like Miguel he's not pleased with whatever's going on with the overall tone of this. And he seems like maybe there's way too much weighing on his shoulders, or maybe he's putting too much on his shoulders. Because maybe the storyline is that he believes that the Spider-Verse is his to sort of maintain, similar to like He Who Remains. Kind of like, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm the one that's, you know, keeping this going, because if I let this go, you think it's bad now. You know, so who knows? But I do see even though I don't always like good guys fighting against each other, I do see a potential for different perspectives to come into play, where Miles has to make a decision similar to what I was saying in a video where we did before, where Miles has to kind of decide what is the line for good and what is the line for bad. Because I mean, there are gray areas, but kind of like, where is my line kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So two questions for you. Does Spider-Woman have a kid who's relevant in the comics?
I don't really know, because I never really followed her a lot.
Okay.
The last time I was following Spider-Woman was maybe at the beginning of like the New Avengers run, and that's like a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's like 2006-ish or whenever that was. Somebody in the comments will be like, no, actually, that was 2005 or something like that. but yeah, somewhere, whenever the New Avengers, like there was the breakout at the Raft and the New Avengers kind of came together and Spider-Woman was sort of like a double agent. That's the last time I saw her, but she wasn't pregnant then. So I'm not sure. And with that, I'm also not sure if that's something that's going to weigh heavily. I wonder if they're going to like just kind of slide that away, or if it's going to be a central part of her character, or if it's going to be like, hey, I'm just pregnant, but you know, crime's right, not going right. to wait, you know, right. crime's not going to stop. So I got to keep going.
The other thing I was wondering about too is like, we didn't see a villain, right? I mean, like they didn't even present who the villain is going to be in this trailer. Was there a villain in the first trailer?
It seems to be like a minor villain with the guy where he first he's like, are you a Dalmatian?
Yeah. I can't imagine that guy's the major villain, right? Like there's got to be somebody who's
I'm assuming that. The major villain is going to be Miguel, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it seems maybe like.
It turns out to be kind of like the unwitting villain sort of.
Right. Right, exactly. Like his control, His need for control is too much, and he's become a villain because of it, or something along
those lines. Yeah, it kind of drives him over the edge.
Right. So it'd be interesting to see who they would come up with, because I don't really know. I know the Peter Parker universe pretty well, but like Into the Spider-Verse was basically my introduction, because I don't read that many comics. So Into the Spider-Verse was my introduction to Miles Morales. So I don't even know who his main villains are.
The last time I read up on anything with Miles, he was dealing with that dude that was cloning people. He did have to fight his own clones. He did have like a clone saga of his own.
Interesting.
And yeah, I think that was the last thing I read, where he kind of sort of had a clone saga of his own, and the guy that was making the clones ended up kind of being the mastermind behind all of that. I can't remember his name, but I know he had like tons of like, you know, access and riches and all that.
Right. Batman.
Yeah. <it's> like, like he has like, you know, infinite riches, you know what I mean? Because I mean, cloning is not cheap.
Right.
You can't go get a clone machine from like, I don't know, Walmart or Kohl's or something like that. You know, you have to build that from scratch.
Have you been on Web Slingers at Disney California Adventure?
No, but I'm waiting for the little guy to get a little bit bigger. I can't wait to go and do all the Avengers stuff and the Spider-Man. I can't remember the area that they call it, but the Spider-Man area.
Yeah, it's like Avengers Campus, and then they have a Spider. But the reason I brought it up is because in that ride, it's not people cloning themselves, it's technology cloning itself, and then you got to fight the technology back. So that'd be an interesting one, because like what would be awesome with that ride, like what they should have done, honestly, was they should have taken the Into the Spider-Verse animation and put you as Miles Morales instead of Peter Parker. Like, I get it, Disney's got the MCU, they got to do what they got to do. But
oh yeah,
that would have been amazing. That would have been Sony would have been like, cool.
Yeah. Not so fast.
We need some revenue from that ride.
just a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But if I was Marvel, I would have been like, look, just let us do what we want, because we see what happens when we leave you guys alone. Like, when we're not involved, we get Morbius.
Yeah.
Like, when we're not involved, exactly. We get Venom. Morbius? Morbius wasn't bad. It was just predictable. Like we knew, from the start, it was like, oh yeah, that guy's going, he's going to get the bat stuff, and then y'all gonna have to fight. Like we already knew that like way early. We were all just like, hey man, kill that guy real quick because like he's gonna be a bad guy. And
I never saw it, dude. I
was like, hey, you know, it's on, what was it, Paramount Plus or whatever it was on. I was like, okay, cool, fine, I'll watch it, and then or Netflix. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I was just like, yeah, I figured this. Like, yeah. I figured the movie out in like the first 10 minutes. I was like, oh yeah, I know it's about to happen. But, and then when it happened, I was like, hey, I was like, I still got it. No.
That's right.
All right. Well, I guess with this, what's any final thoughts? I mean, any thoughts on the pointing scene? Any thoughts?
You know, the only thing I'll say is I saw someone say this on Twitter, and I kind of agree. Like the Spider-Man pointing thing is played out, and this is funny because they are all pointing at each other across the Spider-Verse and hilarious. But I think we can have this be the last.
Yes.
Spider-Man pointing joke. Yes. And then we can we can retire it after this.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say the same thing. I didn't hate it, but when it happened, I was like, ha.
Exactly.
I get it. All right.
That's the perfect response.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, but I'm just like, okay, all right, okay. I'll allow this to be the last one. As long as it's not long in the movie.
Yes.
Like if it's a situation where that thing runs on for any longer than, say, 5 seconds, 10 seconds max, I'm going to be like, okay, all right, guys, come on now.
Yeah.
Let's reel it in.
Exactly.
Let's reel it in. We've got a good movie. We don't need this. Like, Sony, just don't do this.
Yeah. We don't want, this is going to go Morbius if we keep going.
Yeah.
if this lasts 10 seconds. No, but in general, though, I think, I mean, this looks amazing. And the first one was so good that, let's face it, if this even was, you know, good instead of like one of the most amazing movies we've ever seen, I'm still going to go see it in the theater because the first one was that good. And I think that this one has all of the components that the first one had. To make it work, like, you know, he's got another mentor, which looks like Miguel in this case. Peter B. Parker is still there. Gwen is still there. He's still learning to be a superhero. It's all the same elements that I think made the first one work. So I can't imagine them going so far off the rails that it doesn't work here. But even if it's a, you know, the first film is essentially a 10 out of 10. I mean, it's an 11 out of 10, or as you said on one of our shows, it's a 10 on 10 on 10.
Yeah.
so with that being the case, even if this one's an 8, that's going to be phenomenal and it's well worth the money. So
definitely. I agree with from the mentor stuff to the family stuff, the animation that we're seeing. I'm excited. I'm all in. This is probably one of the best trailers that have come out. No, I'll say for me, this is the best trailer this week. Blue Beetle did look good, but
it looks surprisingly good, honestly.
Yes.
I expected to hate that trailer, and I was like, oh, actually, this trailer is better than I thought it was going to be.
I was like, yay, Miguel. But
yeah, exactly.
But best trailer. Animation still looks awesome. The voice acting is still great. I'm invested in the family. Hopefully they don't do this whole long play with Gwen. Just have them go in and kiss and get it over with. But besides that, let's see some cool action scenes and further along this guy's, you know, hero's journey. I love the new suit. So, you know, I'm all about it. Let's go. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. I'm right there with you.
So, Jay, tell them where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Jay Shear, Sherer. You can find me on YouTube. The Story Geeks podcast is now part of the Orange Grove 55 network. Those guys are awesome over there. So I don't have to do as much of the administrative work. I just get to show up and do my show, which is fantastic. Yay. Yeah, it's super cool. And then How Stories Work with Jay Shear is still my channel, and that's where I interview other storytellers or writers or directors or anybody else involved in the creation of stories. And that's pretty much all the places right there.
Cool, cool. And of course, NERD, SUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. If you are at the Kids Comic Book Festival in Richmond, Virginia this weekend, you will be able to see not only me, but also see a Spider-Man. I'm not sure if it's going to be Peter or Miles, but you will see one of them. He will be swinging by a Kids Comic Book Festival near you. But of course, until the next incursion, into the next accolade, the next achievement, or until the next villain, this is for us to you saying peace.